welcome to the September edition of In The Mix, your news and views podcast from CEMEX UK. This time, Sarah Murphy will be speaking to Lawrence Dagley and Adam Leverett about the importance of saving energy on sites this winter. But before I hand over to Sarah, here's a quick news update from across the business. Over the summer, we've seen a number of teams reaching some big LTI milestones. Congratulations to the team from Denge Quarry, who reached 24 years LTI free in July, to the Rail and Sea team, who reached 21 years LTI free, and also 2 years LTI and TRI free, to the UK Mortars team, who reached 16 years LTI free, and finally to the UK Aggregates team, who reached 2 years LTI free. Congratulations and well done to everyone involved. Thank you for continuing to look after each other and making health and safety your number one priority. We should also say a big well done to the team at Leamoth Wharf, who won the Exceed Idea of the Month in July. On the Leamoth Wharf site, there is a requirement to raise their lagoon's water level in small increments, preventing water loss while maintaining safe access. The main freshwater pipe had previously been installed at such an angle that it was difficult to walk around the screen, causing colleagues to straddle the pipe or bend and go under. After a brainstorming session, the team came up with a design to reposition the pipe, allowing much safer access, saving possible injury. Well done to them for making their site a safer place to work. As you may have seen, we have been running our Near Miss Hazard Alert health and safety campaign throughout the summer. Many incidents can be common across sites and operations, so by sharing examples, this can prompt colleagues to implement positive action to improve their own operations. Thanks therefore go to Halkin Quarry for sharing their Near Miss Hazard Alert improvement. Halkin Quarry had recently had a guarding and isolation Near Miss Hazard Alert. An isolation switch had been damaged and was reported through the Near Miss Hazard Alert system and promptly replaced. Had it not been reported and the site had needed to isolate equipment, it is possible the isolation may not have been effective. By reporting the damage and action being promptly taken, the integrity of the isolation procedure was maintained. Using this as an example, if the defective isolation switch had not already been identified, doing a take five before work began would have identified that the switch was defective, and work would not have started until it had been rectified. Take five before starting a task is the opportunity to make sure that all equipment needed during the task is available and fit for purpose. It is the opportunity to ensure that there are no safety issues that could prevent the task from being performed safely. Staying at Halkin Quarry, Mick Ripley, Aggregates Operations Manager, welcomed 50 primary school children from the local school, Ysgol Cynfran. The children had a wonderful visit and were presented with some CEMEX gifts. Mick spent some time discussing the dangers within a quarry and asked the children to identify some of the hazards and why they should not be playing in the quarry. They were also asked to design some posters warning of the dangers. During the visit, Mick spoke to their teacher, Fiona Davies, about CEMEX's new circular economy education programme. She was really interested and was planning to review the material with a view to including it in the teaching programme in the next academic year. Staying in the north, CEMEX's Microtech was the perfect choice to replace Suez transfer station bays, where the harsh conditions required a high performance concrete. Microtech is CEMEX's range of advanced concretes, are high-performance concretes with exceptional levels of durability in the harshest environments. Suez is a major player in environmental services and needed to replace their recycling bays at one of their transfer stations in Bailey Street in Manchester. The bays are used for retaining heavy recycling materials, and it is necessary they withstand multiple truck movements and on-site shovel impacts where moving materials around. To ensure a long yard life, contractor TR Civil Engineering needed a solution that was durable and resistant to continuous impact, and CEMEX's Microtech 50, supplied from our Gorton Concrete plant in Manchester, offered all the properties they required. We sent a video crew to film the whole thing on the day of supply, and we highly recommend you head over to the CEMEX YouTube page to have a watch. And while we're talking about customers, at the Prestonbrook Planning Centre, the team have an ongoing aggregates and asphalt customer service enhancement initiative scheme. This promotes customer relationship development initiatives such as Call Bob and first-class order taking techniques and CEMEX fleet vehicle efficiencies, load per vehicle day. These align to their key KPIs, driving continuous improvement in the CEMEX customer service experience. Colleagues at the Planning Centre in Prestonbrook enjoyed the latest presentations to reward their hard work and commitment to customer service. The Customer Service Award for June was awarded to the Doveholes team, Gemma Schofield, Jenny Teague, Sophie Murrell and Jess Murrell for an all-round excellent customer service offering. The CEMEX Aggregate Fleet Efficiency for June was awarded to the Yorkshire team, Louise Carter and Danny Robinson, for achieving an outstanding LPVD of 5.08 against a budget of 4.98. Congratulations to everyone involved and thank you for your continued commitment to customer service. Finally, we would like to say a huge thank you to everyone who has bought a raffle ticket supporting our charity of the year, Cancer Research UK. Ticket sales have raised a fantastic £900 so far. Winners will be announced shortly. That's it for our news summary. If you've got any stories that you'd like to hear on a future edition of In The Mix, do get in touch with us at inthemix@cemex.com. Now it's over to Sarah, Lawrence and Adam for our Dig Deep interview. Take it away, Sarah.
Hi everyone, and welcome to In The Mix podcast's Dig Deeper interview for this episode. I'm here today with Lawrence and Adam from the Operational Excellence team. They're here to talk to me about electricity efficiency, particularly as we approach the last part of the year.
Before we begin, I just want to note that on this episode of the podcast, we will be focusing on the materials business, but all the general principles and energy saving initiatives apply to all of our other departments and offices too.
So to start, energy is a topic that's top of the agenda for many at the moment. What's the current situation for our UK business?
Okay, thanks, Aaron. Hi, everyone. Well, obviously, as you said, you know, it's a big talking point at the moment across the country. Energy prices are rising significantly because of what's happening in the Ukraine. And we have high prices now. And from everything we're seeing, we're going to see very high prices, particularly this coming winter. It's good to see that the government has come out with some help for us all at home. So the prices will be going up, but not as significantly as maybe we'd feared, and they won't be going up as much as the wholesale markets. So that's good news. But of course, as a big business, we're not expecting to get any help from government in terms of the price that we pay for electricity. So as CEMEX, we are very much looking at what we can do, especially in the coming winter months, to manage our electricity prices. Just as an example, last year in 2021, we spent in materials something like £6 or £7 million on electricity. Well, we've already spent that much this year. So conservatively, we're probably looking at something like a £10 million spend, if not higher for this year as prices increase over the winter period. And when I say prices are increasing, it's dramatic in a level that we've never seen before. We would commonly have been paying in previous years £40 or £50 a megawatt hour. For this winter, we're seeing forecasts now of £500 or even £1,000 a megawatt hour during the peak periods. So, you know, we're talking maybe a 20-fold increase in our electricity prices in some times of the day, which is, as you can imagine, very significant and difficult for the business to handle, which is why, you know, we're going to be talking now about some of the things that we can do to just try and cope with that impact and be as efficient as we can be over the winter months.
And really, the everything that applies in the home at the minute applies at work as well. Hopefully most people will have seen the energy awareness campaign from last year, and everything that we're discussing today is linked to really raising awareness about just how big a crisis this is for the whole of the country at the minute. So there'll be more awareness pieces coming out over this month before we get into the real dark mornings and wet weather. as Lawrence said, the energy prices are higher than they've ever been before. And a big part of the winter is the triad season. These are the top three half-hourly peaks of national energy demand across the grid, which occur over the most energy-intensive period of the year, which is November to February. And during the peaks, the national grid confirms just how much we've been charged after the season ends. So we don't know what actually took place until after the event, which makes it vital that we always act like it's the real thing when we receive alerts saying that there could be a triad today. Those alerts, they go out by text and email to many people in the operations. And if anyone listening has new staff members or thinks that someone could be missing from the list, there will be an email coming out shortly just to double check. It's really worth doing that to make sure that everyone receives the alerts that should be on there.
So, Lawrence, have we been able to fix our electricity prices at all?
So obviously it's something we all think about at home sometimes, you know, whether we should fix or stick on the variable rate for electricity. And it is something that we obviously look at as a business. I think the answer isn't quite straightforward. We have some sites that don't have energy meters, and actually those prices are fixed. And what we'll be doing in the run up to the winter is we'll be communicating so everyone knows whether their site is metered or not metered, because that will affect whether they're on a fixed price or not. For the vast majority of our bigger using sites, we've actually fixed a percentage. It's less than half of our energy prices. And that's because that's all we can do because of our usage pattern. So we have an element that is fixed, but we have a very big element that just moves with the wholesale market. So I think that the message to everyone is, even though we've managed to fix some of our electricity price, there's a very, very big amount that floats with that very volatile and very high priced market that we see at the moment. So anything that anyone can save will save at that much higher price.
So what is operational excellence looking at in relation to electricity use?
In operational excellence, we talk a lot about lean principles. And one of the big globally recognized fundamental principles of lean manufacturing is to focus on what they call the eight wastes. It's a globally recognized way of eliminating and reducing waste in all different areas of your manufacturing process. These include things like unnecessary transportation between stockpiles, which obviously uses energy used to recreate defective orders. So if we get a ready mix order wrong, we have to recreate it. We're not only having to swallow the costs of the materials and the transport, but also the energy, which is probably not always the first thing that people think of. If we leave our conveyor belts running, we would class that as excessive processing if they're running empty without any material on. And just to give you an example, the estimated energy cost of running a conveyor for an hour, and this was before the prices have gone up dramatically, was £1.19. So if we ran every conveyor belt across West Europe materials empty for an hour, the total cost for that electricity would be in the region of £1,500. So an hour of empty running on each conveyor on every working day of the year, which is actually not far from reality, would waste around £400,000 of electricity across the region. And those numbers are out of date. And actually, as soon as you write any electricity numbers down at the minute, they're out of date because they're going up so frequently.
One thing we're doing with operational excellence is some training. Hopefully everyone's seen the CEMEX University degree portal with the OE modules. There are eight modules, six or seven at the time this podcast goes out, with the final one in production. And as Adam said, they focus on lean manufacturing and lean principles. They focus on waste reduction and some of them focus on energy as well. So we're trying to give people the tools to help manage the energy challenge in our business. And of course, we're working on some direct projects as well. So I don't want people to think that we're not investing or we're not directly looking at doing things that will improve the situation. So we're looking at condition monitoring of our equipment as an example, which means we can avoid breakdowns and unnecessary running. We're looking at automation that will shut off compressors or shut off equipment when it's not needed. We've got digital checklists to make sure we're on top of maintenance so we keep everything running as efficiently as possible. And we're even looking at, you know, some bigger projects as well and bigger investments such as renewable generation, which will help to reduce down our electricity bills.
So, Adam, what practical action can those who are on our sites take to keep energy costs down?
Well, that's a really good question, Sarah. We already have really experienced people on a number of our sites who are really conscientious and are doing the right things. The obvious things to do are to switch off equipment when it's not in use. But it's not just about the triad periods that I mentioned. The wholesale prices of energy across the board throughout all the hours of the day are higher than ever before. There are also what the grid call red bands, where energy is more expensive, not as much as the triads, but there are all of these peaks at different times throughout the day. And the triads are generally between 4 and 7pm. So they're the perfect time if we can stop or lower production and any other energy intensive tasks. We could focus maybe on health and safety improvements, team meetings, housekeeping or maintenance items, which can be done safely without the plant running in those periods. But we do understand that it's not always possible. If our permits don't allow us to run in certain hours, we then have a decision to make whether we operate at 4pm or not. Where practically possible, we should shut down. Again, can't always do that. But just to give an example of the extreme cost that we do face for running through a triad, the triad period per kilowatt tends to cost around 400 times the normal price. So as an example, if the normal price was 22p a kilowatt hour, which has been typical up until recently, that would then scale up to £88 per kilowatt hour during the triad. But again, it's not just about the triads, it's about being aware that this is a problem throughout the whole of the working day.
So looking at the kind of business on a larger scale, what bigger projects is the business working on currently?
Well, certainly, you know, one big area of work for us is looking at renewable generation. And in particular, when we've been looking at our sites, that's the opportunity there is for solar panels. And this is something we're looking at across Europe, including the UK. So we've been looking at all of our sites. They need to be the right sites. We need to have a nice big roof, or we need to have some open ground. So we've been looking at where we, we have sites that have got that space, that are sunny, and where we can consume the electricity as well. So we've got a list of projects. Some are small. Some would be small solar installations on ready mix plants. And we're looking at some big projects as well. So one that we're working on actively now and looking to get planning permission for would be about a 1 megawatt solar system at our Swinderby quarry, because our Swinderby quarry is one that we see as a flagship for the future. We're investing in a new plant. We've put in a new conveyor line there. And what we'd really like to do is put some solar panels in as well that have got the capability to fully supply, at least when it's sunny, the aggregate processing plant. So then we can, you know, run on all of our own electricity. That's good in a couple of ways. It's good because it takes us away from this highly volatile, highly expensive energy market. And it's also great for CO2 as well, because we're running all of our aggregate operations on CO2 neutral power.
So as a final question, are there any quick wins for our sites that could reduce electricity use that maybe people haven't already thought about?
Well, specifically, Sarah, I think as a minimum, all plant building light switches and heaters should be on timers and sensors. So that would mean if no one's in the room or if it's out of our operating hours, it shouldn't be lit or the heating shouldn't be on. Lights should all be power saving LEDs. And we have had audits in the past to go through that process. But if there's any that have slipped the net, we should be using power saving LEDs. We should, of course, have critical lights on outside so that people can safely get from vehicles on entry to offices. But if there's other areas of the site that don't need to be lit, where people are not going to go into, then we can keep them switched off and manually turn them on when we start production. The compressors should be fitted with a device where we store air and only run when we need to top up the tank, so they're not left on all day, because air leaks can hugely reduce a compressor's efficiency, sometimes as much as 80%, which is a significant waste of energy. Conveyor belts, which I think I mentioned earlier as well. We should also have timings sensors on those as well. So if belts are running empty, they switch off automatically. Those are relatively low cost, quick wins, and really should be the minimum standards that we have on all of our sites.
So just to finish off, is there anything you wanted to kind of say in summary to people that are listening?
Well, I guess just to, you know, summarize the key points, and it's that, you know, as a business, we're facing, you know, exactly the same issues as everyone, you know, is facing at home. The spend of something like 10 million a year is significant for our business. So and it could go higher because it's such a volatile market at the moment. So we're just asking for everyone's help in helping us to manage this and manage the cost impact. As a business, we'll do our part. We're investing. We've spoken about some of the energy efficiency investments that we're looking to make, some of the solar generation. So that's definitely one side. We have to put money into this in order to save money in the future and be greener. But the other is, let's say, a call for help in the best way we can save electricity is to not use it in the first place. So that's where, you know, we're looking at the energy efficiency actions that we've mentioned. If we can turn things off so they're not running all day, turn the heating down a little bit, turn conveyors and compressors off when we're not operating the plant, those kind of things are just direct savings on what maybe in the past hasn't been a very material cost for us, but now is a really significant cost for us and can make a massive difference to our profitability.
Thank you, Lawrence and Adam, for joining me on the Dig Deeper interview today. And thanks to everyone who has listened to us. Look out for more information about fuel efficiency over the coming months. And if you have any questions at all, do reach out to the Operational Excellence team. That's it for this episode of In The Mix, and we'll be back soon with another episode. In the meantime, you can get in contact with us at any time on inthemix@cemex.com, the usual GB comms email address, and do keep an eye out for our usual communication methods such as UK News, Spark and Yammer. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you soon.